Welcome to Winning English, helping your English shine through the use of idioms, slang, and cultural references. Today, a look at the many varieties of English, both between countries and within the United States. Before I get too far, I want to remind you to please hit that subscribe button below. Look for great content each week. Thanks. I often feel a lot of sympathy for English language learners. Learning a second language is already a hard thing to do, and it's made even harder when there are many varieties of that language. For example, there are many different forms of English. I often talk about American and British English, but there is also the English spoken in Australia, India, and many other places, including Nigeria, which I was shocked to find out has the second biggest number of English speakers in the world. In the newsletter, you can find a chart from Wikipedia with the numbers. Also note that the Philippines has more English speakers than the United Kingdom, which was a surprise to me. Of course, when it comes to varieties of English, I particularly like what's called Singlish, that special mix of English and other languages spoken in Singapore, where I lived for 6 years. Now, to be clear, all of these people can still understand one another. English is still English. But sometimes the differences can be confusing, and misunderstandings can happen even between native speakers. Some of them are kind of funny. Let me give you one example. In the United States, we wear pants. A pair of pants is that article of clothing you wear to cover the lower half of your body. However, in the United Kingdom, they wear trousers to cover the lower half of their bodies. They also wear pants, but pants are underwear, which are the clothes you use to cover up your private parts, if you can guess my meaning. So I personally have had several funny moments with my British friends because of these words. Suppose I want to find out whether I need to wear pants to a party or whether it is okay to wear shorts, that is, pants that end above the knee. My friends can answer, "Well, we don't care if you wear pants, but you must wear trousers." Of course, differences in English can happen within countries as well as between them. For example, there are words and pronunciations that are used in some parts of the United States and not in others. These differences can indicate where a particular person grew up, and people often get very passionate about these differences too. One researcher, Joshua Katz from North Carolina State University, has researched these differences and generated maps of where they occur. You can see some of those maps in the newsletter. Here are three examples. We're all familiar with the soft drink Coca-Cola, which is often just called Coke. Oddly, in some parts of the U.S., Coke has become a general word for any kind of carbonated, sugary drink. Other parts of the country call these drinks soda, though. And where I grew up in the state of Ohio, we always called these drinks pop. Later, by the way, I started using the word soda because I moved to Illinois, where that was more commonly used. Here's a second somewhat odd example. When a house or other place is diagonally across the street from you, that is, it's not straight across, but is at an angle, some parts of the U.S. say it is kitty corner from you. Others say it is catty corner. This is strange, I know, but it's what we do. Finally, here's a third example. There is a particular kind of soft-soled shoe that many of us wear. It's often used for children's physical education classes or by anybody for general comfort. Most everyone in the U.S. calls these shoes tennis shoes, which, as an avid tennis player myself, I like. But in the northeast of the U.S. and in the southern part of the state of Florida, they are called sneakers, as if you are sneaking around in them to keep quiet. Like I said, English can be hard given the many different ways people use the language, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. There is always a simpler, more common word that will work just fine. And really, in the end, it's more important to communicate and to be understood than it is to be exactly correct. Sometimes it's just fun to learn about these various quirks in the language. Curious to find out more? Check out an article from Business Insider that I linked to in the newsletter. Thanks for being part of Winning English. Again, make sure to hit that subscribe button below and sign up for the email newsletter at winningenglish.substack.com. The newsletter has a transcript of this video and additional content. This time, I discuss a podcast I listened to recently that argues that maybe all of you English language learners should actually be in charge of the language. I hope you enjoy it. Please follow Winning English on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram as well. Maybe even consider donating to this project through Patreon. I have a link in the description below. Most of all, remember, if you like Winning English, please tell a friend. I'm really looking to grow this service, and I need your help to do that. Talk soon.